We are Ahmed Hay Ahmed Aleph, 35A. We are 8-9 lines down. V'yam Rav Chananel Marav. Our second of two statements regarding tefillin from Rav Chananel citing Rav and then responded to by Abaye. V'yam Rav Chananel Marav, titora de tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai. He says the titora of tefillin, having a titora at all, is halacha l'moshe misinai. And what he's referring to is the bottom of the batim. The idea that the bayit is not simply open, but that it actually has a piece of hide at the bottom that's covering the entrance, that's what we call the titora. Rashi tells you, gesher, titora itself, the word means gesher, it's like a bridge. La'acha shenasan ha'igros, after you put, it's funny, he calls them igros. Well, we're not supposed to make it like an igeris. Nonetheless, you put the pieces of parchment, bebatim, into the boxes, derech hapeh harachav, via the wide entrance, shabatim asuy kin batei yadayim, because you make the batim of the tefillin like sleeves, shekarin gutin, okay. Umachnis ha'igros derech hapeh, you put the pieces of cloth into it, via that mouth, v'nosnan bebatei ha'etzbos, as though it was going into the finger holes, so to speak, each separate bayit. And here he's referring to the shalrosh that has individual compartments inside. So that you have these three dividing walls between the compartments, you have to make sure to cut those so that they're not going to extend through the mouth of the sleeve, so to speak. And then the fourth one remains long. And you double it over that opening now, the expanse of the openings into the compartments. Umatila al chudan shalgimel defanos, you put it across the ends of the three compartments. Betofer chudan shalgimel defanos al rochbo shalzeh. And then what you do is you stitch the end of these three compartment dividers to the width of this fourth one that's extended over it. Behu base moshava shel tefillin, that's where the tefillin sits. It's the base. V'nirkein daf shel gesher, and it looks like a board from a bridge. Again, going back to the word titara. The point is that this is the bottom of the bayit. Now Rashi added a piece here by saying it's all or echad, that it's all one piece of hide. The Russian Hilchos Tefillin disagrees. He says that their practice was to use multiple pieces of hide. Today we talk about this in terms of dakos and gassos, the gassos being a thicker piece of tefillin, and we say or echad using one piece of hide, and that's a finer way to make the tefillin. It's certainly more durable than if you use dakos, if you use thin pieces and you use multiple pieces of cloth. So that you then have to stitch together multiple parts, and there's the potential for it to fall apart eventually. But that's the titora. Titora is the base of the bayit. So we're told that's halacha l'moshe misinai. You don't have a pasuk that says have a base to the bayit, but that's the but that's what we know you're supposed to do. Amar Abaye, back in the Gemara, Abaye says, Ma'avarta the tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai. The Ma'avarta is also halacha l'moshe misinai. And what he means by that, we'll see in Rashi in a moment, but just to explain it outside, is that there are two ways you can attach the tefillin to your arm and to your head. One way to do it, theoretically, would be to have a strap or a tzua that is stitched to the bayit, it's fixed on it, and you just tie that ritzua around your arm and you put that ritzua on your forehead. That's not what we do. The other option is that you have a hole of sorts within the construction of the bayit, and the ritzua passes through that and is now adjustable. That's what we do. The pass-through area, the added part that's on the side of the bayit, and that the strip of tefillah, of ritzua can pass through, is what we call the ma'avarta. Mavarta, from an expression of ayin beis reish, la'avir, or la'avor, it's where the ritzua passes through on the side. So take a look at Rashi, he tells it to you, ma'avarta, kishenosein ha'ritzua shel tefillin saviv oso titora. When you put the strap of the tefillin around that titora, which is the base, meaning next to the base, yachpil ha'klaf saviv ha'ritzua. You double over the piece of hide, it doesn't mean cloth like parchment, he means like hide, around where the ritzua goes, ke'en sha'osim lefiv ha'michnasayim, like they do when they make a belt thing in pants. Shalot de'e ha'ritzua kavua. You don't, when you have a belt or whatever, an area like a loop for the belt. The belt is not affixed to the pants; it has to be able to shift back and forth. So too, for the tefillin, shalote aritzua kivua, you don't have the strap attached to the tefillin so that it can't move. Elikshu rotza moshcha elech veelech. When you want, you can pull it through to one way or the other. Umarich rosh zeh umakatze rosh zeh, lengthening one side, shortening another side, and you make the tefillin fit better that way. V'loshen ma'avarta shema'avira u'moshcha l'chol sad she'yir. That's the expression of ma'avarta, that you can pull the strap through one way or the other. So the idea that you have a space through which the strap can pass and that it's not affixed to the tefillin, that's also halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, says Abaye. Ve'amar Abaye, and a second statement from Abaye, we're going to get three altogether. Shin shel tefillin halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. He says also the shin of the tefillin, by which we assume he means on the shel rosh, that on the bayit of the shel rosh, that's halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. Tosfos mentions here the three and four branch shin, the three branch shin on one side, the four branch shin on the other, and there's a footnote in the Smag in Mitzvah Asei Chav Beis who says that the reason why you have three branches on one side and four branches on the other is that one represents the engraved shin of the Luchos, and the other one represents the protruding shin of the Sefer Torah. It's over the surface. So when you have an engraved shin, that means that the three branches are engraved. You have four branches surrounding it. That's how you get your four-branch shin versus the three-branch shin. So Abaye says, that's halakha l'moshe mi'sinai, because again, we don't have a pasuk to teach us this, but this is what we do it. This is what we've always done, tefillin. V'tzarech she'agia charitz l'makom ha'tefer. And also, when you make the groove between each bayit of the shel rosh, the groove has to go all the way down to the stitch, meaning the stitch where it attaches to the titora, to the base, where the individual bayit is sealed by the base. You have to have the groove going all the way down to the titora. Maybe for that I had mulled bringing in my tefillin so we could actually point to it on the tefillin. I didn't think that these were all that difficult because we see them every day. To imagine but it's the groove in between each bayit. That's what he's talking about. Rav Dimi min Erda Amar Keva de Minkar Lo Tzarech. Rav Dimi of Nerda disagrees on this last point. He says the groove does not need to reach all the way down to the titora. As long as you have a little bit of a groove, you can already see that these are separate. And that's sufficient. Okay, last statement from Abaye. V'yamar Abaye, hay kilfa de tefillin etzarech lemivdike. He says when you write the parchment of the tefillin, when you write the actual parshios, you have to examine it, meaning, Rashi explains, to look for holes. The dilma is be'reyusa, maybe there's a weakness in it. Rashi says that means an actual hole. Uba'ina ksiva tama v'leka, you require that the text be perfect, and it won't be, because now it'll be disturbed by the hole. That's Abaye's statement. However, again, Rav Dimi min Erda comes along and he says, no, he says you don't need it because the quill that you're going to use as you write it is going to check the parchment, and what that means is that a hole is not significant if the ink can pass over it. Tosus explains this. If the ink can go over it, then it's already fine. And so when you're writing, you'll notice whether there's a hole or not. You don't have to do any specific check of the cloth.
Meaning that the ink isn't.
Correct. The ink is not going
through. When you say over, they had to lock it up with the...
When you say what? Sorry?
Lock the hole had to be filled up?
No, if you have a hole in it, it won't be any good. There's no way to fill the hole.
Yeah.
The idea is that if you actually have a hole in the cloth, you have to get a different piece of cloth.
Yeah.
If the hole is in between the letters, you can see the letter, but there's a hole in between the lines.
So as long as you have hekef gevil, as long as you have solid parchment around each letter, you're fine. That's okay. The concern is you don't check in advance, and then you start writing it, and you don't notice that that there was a hole where you put a letter. That's what Abaye is worried about. If you actually end up writing over a hole without noticing it, to which Rav Dimi says, if you can write over the hole without noticing it, and no ink goes through, it's not a hole.
So the surface tension.
If there is a line between lines,
then you're fine also. Yeah.
So if the sheen is a locomotion machine, I would have valid good. They're not the locomotion machine.
So that's a good question. We'll get to that. Hang in there. That's coming also. That concludes the discussion about the batim and their structure for now. We're coming back to the batim, but then we go off into the ritzuos a little bit. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says ritzuos shechoros halacha lamoshe misinai. He says having the straps be black is halacha lamoshe misinai as well. The Tosfos says here on ritzuos shechoros that some make the batim of the tefillin from a white cloth, because it's only the ritzuos that actually have to be black. All you told me is the ritzuos, if you like. We, in practice, we blacken the whole thing.
One side,
the only one side, it seems, based on the Gemara, that as it continues. You'll see. Meisveis, the Gemara challenges that and says, tefillin ein kosherin osan ela biminan. The straps that you use for the tefillin have to be of the same type as the batim themselves, by which, and the parshios, meaning that it has to be made of cloth. You have to make that of hide as well. Bein yurokos, bein shcharos, bein levanos. But it can be any color. It can be green. It can be black. It can be white. We don't care. The only restriction is adumos lo yase. Don't make them red. Mipnei ginai v'davar acher. Because of ginai, Rashi explains that he'll look like someone who has scabs. Mipnei ginai shema yomru gardonu. People might say he's someone who's constantly scratching at his skin. Umidam chatatav nitzbeu v'edimu haritzuos. And the concern is that the reason why his straps are red is because of blood from the wounds that he's scratching at. The Davar Acher, he says, Shema Yomer Ishto Nida Baal V'Nitzbe'u Bedam. Davar Acher refers to Tashmish almost always, not always, but almost always in the Gemara. And the concern is that it's blood from his Tashmish with his wife, that she was a Nida. So you don't want to call that to mind when people see his tefillin. So don't do red tefillin. That's the concern. Either that or it was under the pillow. They discussed that, whether you keep tefillin under the pillow and the propriety and impropriety, so maybe this is a concern. Rabbi Yehuda says, Maisa b'talmidosh Rabbi Akiva shaya kosher tefilah v'lashonos shel techeles. This Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, presumably it's from the first batch of Talmidim, not from the five at the end. They put on their tefillin and used for straps, used tongues of wool, specifically tcheles wool for it. Velo amar lo davar, and Rabbi Akiva did not protest. Efshar oso tzadik ro'a talmido velo michaba. How could that be? Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have said something to him. Amar lo, hey. He said, you're right. Lo ra'a oso, he didn't see him. Vimra oso lo hayamanicho. Had he seen it, he would never have allowed it. And then it's
the use of the leather or the color?
It's both. Sorry? Wait, I can't get everybody at once. Rashi notes that it's techeles is lav minon. The fact that it's wool. The fact that it's not leather. Excuse me. That's true. That's a Rashi. That Rashi singles that out. That's true. Sorry, Mayor, what were you going to say?
No, I was saying the material.
And then we get a second version.
Because Rashi held tefillin, tchelis was a black color.
No, Rashi says that it's a deeper blue, but he's not going to call it shachar.
He's going to call it black.
If you could find it for me, that would be interesting. I think he says that it's a deep blue, but not. I don't think he uses the term shachar. Hey, he uses the term shachar to say it's a darker blue.
So why? Yeah.
But he wouldn't have called it black.
So why wouldn't he mention the color as well?
Because we just accepted it.
Colors are not.
We just said ben yurokos, ben shcharos, ben levanos, right? We're quoting this. Wait. Back up. We're quoting this in order to challenge the statement that we just made that it has to be black. So in other words, here we're approving other colors. Again, remember how we started this. The line said that the ritzuos are supposed to be black. Halacha l'moshe misinai. We're challenging it from here. Wait. Chill out for a second. We said that it has to be black. We're challenging it from these stories here, which are going to indicate that it's okay to be other colors as long as it's leather. So the point is that here we're accepting other colors. We began this by quoting the Braisa that says that they can be Yerokos, Shcharos, Levanos, just not red. We then get a story. We're still within the Meisvei. And in this story, the objection would not have been to the color. The objection would have been to the material.
Straps?
Yes. The whole discussion is about the straps. The whole discussion is about the straps. The original assertion that it has to be black was also about only the straps. The whole thing is strap specific. Yes, he's only talking straps. We're still within the Meisvei. The Horkinus, son of Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, Shayakosha and Tefillah Bilashona Shalar Gama, and used purple wool. And again, the objection is going to be the wool. Velo Amar Lo Davar, and there was no objection from Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Esher Hosea Tzadik Rab Beno Velo Michabo. He wouldn't have protested when his son did this. So Amar Lo Hain, you're right. Lo Ra Oso Vimra Oso Lo Haya Menicho. It's because he didn't see it. End of quote of our challenge. So Ketani Mia Bein Yerokos Bein Shcharos Bein Levanos. You're willing to accept all sorts of colors. It doesn't have to be black. That's what you said right at the outset, and in those stories we assume the objection is not to the color issue. So the Gemara's answer is lo kasha, no problem. Kan mi bifnim, kan mi bachutz. It depends on whether it's inside or outside. In other words, the inside of the strap or the outside of the strap. The outside of the strap is what has to be black. The inside can be these other colors. To which he says, imi bifnim. My gneiva davar achirika. Well, I don't understand. Then why did you object to red? If it's the internal side, which no one is going to see, so let it be red. No one's going to come to any conclusions. They don't see it. So he answers zimnin dimis havchenle, because sometimes they get turned around, as we'll talk about a little bit in the Gemara. So we get this idea that that neither side should be red. Good. We've now taught about the ritzios, about the straps, that they're supposed to be black, and the internal side may be other colors, and they're supposed to be made out of leather. We now return to talk about the batim, about the boxes of the tefillin, and we get the need for it to be square. Tana, we learned tefillin mirubos, halacha l'moshe misinai. The tefillin should be square, halacha l'moshe misinai. Again, we don't have any other basis for it. It's simply so. This is what we know. This is how you make tefillin. Amar of Papa, or in the version of the Gemara that appears in the Gemara Megillah, it's Rava. Bitafran uba alach sonan. When we say it needs to be square, that means two things. Number one, bitofran. Rashi explains, bitfirasan, when you stitch them together, right, you're stitching the titora to the top. So yishmor es ribuan, you guard the squared nature of it. Shelo yimshol chuta tefira yosimidai, not to pull the thread too tight. Shelo yikavtsu, lest it then squeeze, compress the tefillin viikatze rochbo, and end up shortening the width of the tefillin. So in other words, if you stitch it too tight, you get it off of the square. That's one requirement, and the other is uba alachsonan on their diagonal. Rashi explains shehe ribuan mich. The width and length have to be precise. This is not just any quadrilateral, it's a square. You have to make sure that it's squared properly, the length and the width being precise. So that the angle, the diagonal, going each direction in the square, will be of the same length. Shamu chachamim kol amso b'ribua amso trechom she balachsona, right? The classic 1.2, the calculation of the hypotenuse. And veloye orko yeser al rochbo shafilu yeshla and izavios psulin. You can't have the length be greater than the width. That's no good. Okay, you can't have the corners extend farther out. None of that is an option. That's what we mean by diagonal, by square. Excuse me. And the Gemara then says back in the Gemara, lema misayale, we can support this from the statement haosa tefilaso agula sakana ve'ein b'mitzvah. If you make your tefillin round, that's considered to be dangerous, and there is no mitzvah in doing so. Rashi here says dangerous means physical danger. You're going to walk into a wall; it's dangerous for your head, right? They teach you about the strength of the shape of the rounded shape. It could damage you. Tosus and Megillah disagrees. Tosus and Megillah says that the concern is you're not fulfilling the mitzvah properly, and then if you end up in a position of danger, Hashem won't protect you because you're not wearing tefillin properly. Sort of like what we said, the machlokas we had regarding the mezuzah that you put on the pole. Whether that's sakana because you might bang your head on it, or sakana because you're not fulfilling mezuzah properly. Theoretically, it should be. No, they didn't mention that, but theoretically, yeah.
There's no mitzvah to be spoiled.
Right, that's true. You're not a shliach mitzvah in that case.
You can be damaged.
Right.
Is there some spiritual meaning to something being, to the tefillin being square as opposed to round?
Possibly. I wouldn't doubt that the Mekubalim have it. I would not doubt that the Mekubalim have plenty to say on this. I didn't look into it for this, but yes.
The same dimensions apply to the yet?
Yes, even though the emphasis on the stitching seems to emphasize the shalrosh, the shayat has the stitches also. We're talking shalyat also. So Amar Papa Masnisa da Avida ki Amaguzer. Papa says that's not a support. This brisa that you wanted to bring to support the idea that they have to be squared off is not a support, because that's talking about da Avida ki Amaguzer, if it's made like a nut. What do you mean? So Rashi says ki Amaguzer Shaor Beis Moshavam Chadud Bioser. That's actually talking about having the hide at the base on the Titora be too sharp. Which Rashi and Megillah explains means that it's like an egg. Your batim are square, and the titora then has sort of an oval edge to it. Aval agul ke'agil ketabas ematikshera sharei yesh lahem beis moshav. He says if we're fully round, that wouldn't be disqualified by the brisa that you brought. That would be okay. It's still considered to have a base. That's disqualified based on the need for merubo. So there are two separate disqualifications. One is the need for the box to be squared, and the other is that the base should not be in and of itself rounded.
So is Rapapa arguing about the Lishma Sinai?
No, he's only saying that source that you tried to bring, this Lena Messiah, is not an accurate source. That's disqualifying something else. That the source that you brought, the Lena Messiah, is not about squared off batim. The source that you're bringing is only about the base to it. Yeah.
That's why Gears is rubber, because it's Rapapa. Why would he
right.
Upslub his Raya?
Potentially, but Lavdavka, because if someone bringing a Raya to him, and he could say, you know what, that's not a good Raya, especially because Rapapa is a Talmud of Rava. And remember that Rava is known for that. Rava is known for asking questions, then answering his own questions, bringing Rayas and saying, that's not a Raya. So it could be Rapapa said, look, I have to be honest, thank you for the support, but it's not a support. Shanzo could be.
Shanzo points out that the family Gneza, Tomso Yad, that are roundish as opposed to square.
They're in the Gneza.
Well, which yeah. You could argue both
yeah.
ways, right?
Interesting. Okay.
Amar
Ravuna. The Ravuna says Tfilin call sorry?
That's how they find the Tfilin Yad Akol. That's from the Gneza. After they put it in the Gneza, they find it out in Alexandria in Egypt.
Right. Well, you think the Cairo Gneza. The Amar Ravuna Tfilin calls Manisha Pnei Tavla Kayemes Ksheros. Ravuna says that the face of the Tavla, meaning the hide that you're using for the Batim, Rashi says, has to be intact. It has to be kayem, then it's kosher. In other words, you can't have any splits in the walls of the Shel Rosh. You don't want splits in the walls of your Tfilin. So Rav Chisda Amar Nifsik Ushtayim Ksheros Shalosh Psulos. Rav Chisda says it depends. You're dealing with the internal walls that are in between each of the batim. This is for today, but I didn't do a diagram. If you have the internal walls between each of the batim, if two of them are split, and Rashi says the idea is zeh shelo keneged zeh, one split is in the wall of the first one, and one split is in the wall of the third one, then it's kasher. Shalosh, if three of them are split, so you now have them side by side, psulos. That's one explanation in Rashi. Rashi then gives a second explanation, zeh keneged zeh, that's on the next line in the Gemara, I didn't get there yet. So Rav Chisda says, two, is okay. Three is no good. Amar Rava, and Rava says, Hada Amrit Shtayim Ksheros, when you say it's good, if there are two, Lo Amrit Nalazesh Lo Keneged Zeh. That's only if the openings are not opposite each other. That's the one and three that Rashi says. Aval Zeh Keneged Zeh Psulos. But if they're opposite each other, it's no good. Rashi's second explanation is, Zeh Keneged Zeh Besoch Avir Charetz Echa Nifsak Dovin Bayit Zeh Vedovin Bayit Sheh Kenegdo. Zeh Shalo Keneged Zeh Sheh Nifsak Zeh Bavir Echa Vezeh Bavir Acher. Shein Kera Roes His first explanation is that they can't be of adjacent walls. His second explanation is simply that you have to have them in different spots, the gaps, so that they don't go, it's not flush, it's not straight through. The Gemara says, and when we say that if one is opposite to the other, it's no good, that's specifically talking about where it's new leather. And the reason is, Rashi explains, because if new leather is splitting that way, you know that it's weak leather, and they're going to fall apart. As opposed to if it's old, so then some of them can develop over time and you're still fine. If it's older leather, less limbo, we have no concern. So how do you define new leather and old leather? Right? If it's older than me, it's old. How do I do that? How do I define new leather and old leather? Amalei Abaye L'Rav Yosef, Heichi Damim Chadisav, Heichi Damia and Atikta. So Amalei, Kol Heicha Kimisli or Dimisli Bey Bishalcha, V'hadar Chalim Atikta, V'idach Chadisav. So he explains, if when you hold the hide, you try to pull the hide taut, and then you release it, it will go back to the way it was. He says, that's atikta, that's already old. Whereas if it's new, then it'll actually retain the new shape that you give it. That's one answer. The inami, alternatively, kol hechi dechimisli bebimasna asya yabasre chadisa v'idach atikta. Alternatively, if you hold the strap and you try to pull the tefillin, and someone else is holding the box, that's the key. What will happen is ultimately you'll end up pulling the bayit from the other person and the strap won't split. That's new. The older ones, the strap will split. That's the first version in Rashi. And then a second version in Rashi is simply that it'll go taut. But the idea in general is that the older hide has lost its flexibility already.
According to the first version, you'll have ruined the tefillin, but at least you knew they were kosher until you ruined them.
Well, if the tefillin is at a stage where this would happen were you to test it in this way.
Okay.
Yeah. You're supposed to be able to tell it's at that stage or it's not at that stage.
She grounds, she's not a witch.
Exactly. So Abaye now gives us back our discussion about the Ritzuos. We've finished more about the Batin. What I want to do before we finish the Perek is we just put out on one of these sheets an index so you can look up where each halacha is discussed in the Perek, because we keep going back and forth between different pieces. But we're back to Batin now. Abaye have a Yosef Kamedu Rabbi Yosef. Abaye is learning in front of Rabbi Yosef. Ifsikle Ritzua the Tefili, and the strap on his tefillin split. So Amar Lei Maula Mikdere, he asked him, can I just tie the two pieces of Ritzua together and use it? Amar Lei, he replied, no. Ukshartam Ksiv, the Torah says, Ukshartam, you shall tie them, just like we said, Ukhsavtam means Ksivatama, a perfect writing, so to hear, Shetei Kshiratama. The tying also has to be perfect. Don't tie the two segments together. Rashi gives me two explanations, either that it doesn't look nice, or it's just not called complete, it's not called tam. Amalei Rav Acha Bredu of Yosef L'Ravashi Mau L'mitfarei V'ailei L'tfira L'gav. So he says, well, what if I tie it but I put the knot on the inside so that nobody is able to see it? If I stitch it and keep the stitches on the inside. So Amar Pok Chazi Mayama Dover. He said, go see what people do. Right? Remember the discussion from Psachim about Chazim Ayama Dover with Hillel's ascendancy? The question of how you bring the knife to the Beis HaMikdash when Erev Pesach is Shabbos and they put it in the wall of the lamb and let the lamb walk to the Beis HaMikdash. And that was by seeing what people were doing. So Pok Chazim Ayama Dover, go see what people are doing. The funny thing is that the Machlok is Rashi and Tosza what people are doing. Rashi says, Pok Chazim Ayama Dover, nobody does this. V'kevin dey noeg in kein lo sasa, people don't do this. Tosza says, no, people do it. Rabbeinu Tam says no. He means that people actually do it. The Rosh in Hilchos Tefillin quotes the Shimusha Rabbah to support Tosfos, but Poskim there, cited in the Divrei Chamudos on the Rosh, support Rashi and say unless you're in a case of need, don't stitch up the strap. Get a new strap. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says Gardume Ritzuos Kasheros. If the strap breaks and all you have is a little bit of minimal strap that's left, just some Shirayim Kasheros. That's okay. V'lav Milsehi, but it's not true. We don't say that. Midamri B'nei Rabbi Chia, the sons of Rabbi Chia used to say Gardume Tcheles v'Gardume Ezov Kasherin. If you have remnants of Tcheles for your tzitzis or remnants of Ezov for the mitzvahs that require the Ezov, like the mitzvah. And that's still kosher. That's what they said. So hasamu detashmishe mitzvah ninu. There it's kosher. Why? Because they're just for the purpose of a mitzvah. Avohacha, but here detashmishe kedusha ninu. With tashmishe kedusha, our standards are greater. You require more left. Lo, it's no good. So he says, wait a minute, Michlal de Islahu Shira, that means there must be some shear for what the Ritzua should be. The Kama Shirayu, what exactly is the length? So Amarai Bar Chama, Amarai Shlakish ad Etzbat Sarada, up to the pointer finger. You'll recall the Etzbat Sarada from Yom Kippur and keeping the Kohen Gadol awake. That's the finger they snapped. But what exactly is etzbat sarada? What does that mean? So Rav Kahana mechavi kafuf, Rav Ashi mechavi poshut. Which, taking this straight, I would have said means Rav Kahana means the length of the pointer finger when it's bent, and Rav Ashi says when it's extended. But that's not the way Rashi takes it. Rashi says kafuf means the distance between your pointer finger and your middle finger when you pull them apart, which is a small distance, relative to pashut, which is a distance from the pointer finger to your thumb when you extend those apart, which is certainly significantly longer. And that's the difference. Notice that we called the straps tashmishe kedusha and not kedusha themselves. That's going to be very, very important in another couple of lines. Rabba kater lahu upashut vishadi lahu. Rav Acha bar Yaakov kater lahu umasleis lahu. Marbrei de Ravina avid kididan. Three different versions of what you do with the straps from your shel rosh that hang down from your head. Rabba kater lahu upashut vishadi lahu. He tied the tefillin and then he just let the straps hang down behind him. I've seen people in shul do that sometimes in the morning. Not on purpose, though. He had the straps hang down behind him. Rav Acha bar Yaakov masleis lahu, hung them in front of him. But Rashi explains that it seems to be some kind of braiding that he actually did with the straps. And Mar Braid de Ravina did what we do, which is that he just lets them hang over his shoulders, but in front of him. Amar of you, the braider of Shmuel bar Shelas mishmei de Rav, kesher shel tefillin halacha lemoshe misinai. This goes back to your question about the dalet and the yud. He says the knot on the tefillin is halacha lemoshe misinai. So Rashi says that refers to the dalet that you make and the head tefillin behind your head. The dalet knot and the yud is the knot that's next to the tefillin shel yad box on your arm. That's what we're talking about for the yud is on the shel yad and the dalet is on the shel rosh. Azoy shteit Rashi. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos Elu says that it's the fact that we have a knot that is the dalet on the shel rosh. And we don't simply loop the strap, but not that it's the shape of the dalet specifically. He goes through several arguments to prove that it's not that it's not actually making it a dalet, including that it's tashmishe kedusha, the strap. It's not called kedusha itself. So he says that it just means that we have a knot at all. The Mishnah Berurah discusses the dalet knot versus the double dalet that some people have, and the Mishnah Berurah prefers the single dalet knot in the back of that, not the square one. The Mishnah Berurah's preference is the single dalet. I think the Hasidim then are the ones who are more likely to do the double dalet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And
Svart. And Svart, right. Okay. So that's Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and Amar Rav Nachman V'Noyehen Levar. Rav Nachman says its beauty should be on the outside. This is its own machlokes. Rashi has two explanations for what that means. Rashi first says it means the side of the knot that looks like a dalet should be out. And then his second approach, his preferred answer, is that it's the polished black side of the straps because of the story that we're about to get to in the Gemara. The Rosh in Hilchas Tefillin quotes Tshuvos of the Gaonim that one should actually fast if it gets reversed, based on the story in Moed Katan Chaf Hayomid Beis where Rav Huna fasted for 40 days when his straps got reversed. But he says you don't have to fast 40 days, but there is an idea of fasting if it gets reversed. But note, he's not talking about the straps that hang down in front of you. The Mishnah Berurah notes in Siman Chav Zayin that what he means is the strap that goes around the head and the first loop of the strap of the shel yad that holds the shel yad to the arm. That's what he wants to make sure it does not get reversed. The rest of it, if it gets reversed, is not as big a deal. But those things you should really make sure are black side out. And now we get a story of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi of a Yasid Kameid de Marzutra. Rav Ashi was learning in front of Marzutra. Is Hapchalei Ritzua de Tefillin. And his strap got reversed. So Amar Leilo Sava Lamar Benoyein Levar, his strap meaning Marzutra's strap, presumably. And he says, Master, Marzutra, don't you believe that it's supposed to be the beautiful part outside? Amar Leilo Lava Daito. He says, yeah, I didn't notice. I didn't notice that it got reversed. Thanks for pointing that out. V'ra'u kalamei ha'aretz kishem Hashem nekra alecha v'yar'umi mecha, the Pasuk says, everybody will see the name of Hashem upon you, and they will be in awe of you. So Tanya, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol Omer, Elu Tefillin Shavarosh. He says, that's the head of Tefillin, the name of Hashem being, Rashi says, the majority of the name, the Shin and the Dalet. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos, on the other hand, disagrees and says, no, it's only the Shin. Because again, Tosfos believes that the Dalet is not really Halach L'moshe Misinai. Tosfos says it's the shin that's on the tefillin shel rosh. That's what they're going to see. Vasirosi es kapiv ro'iso es achorai, Hashem says to Moshe in Kisisa, you will see behind me. So what is the beauty of seeing behind Hashem? What does that mean? Amar chanabar bizna amar b'shimon chasida malamed shehera la kadosh baruch hu l'moshe kesher shel tefillin. That Hashem showed Moshe the knot on the tefillin shel rosh. The Or Zeruah says it's one of those things Hashem shows Moshe to teach him something specific. In the other words, that Moshe will know how you're supposed to make the tefillin. Otherwise, how are we going to get our halacha l'moshe misinai? So Hashem has to show Moshe what the knot is supposed to look like. That's the idea. Classic problem with this is that we're told that at that moment Hashem is nis'atev kishliach tzibur in order to teach Moshe the yugim olmidos, right? Hashem cloaks himself like a shliach tzibur, which we understand to mean talus over the head. Well, if he puts his talus over his head, how's Moshe seeing the nod of the tefillin in the back? My father always asked me that question. I don't have an answer.
That's only according to the people who get the talus over your head.
Wait, so that's the question. What does Nis'atev Kishlach Tzibur mean? That is the general assumption, though.
Or a jacket, like you have to in our
show. Usually mean a kippah. I mean, that's the way other people
are saying it. Not Nis'atev. Nis'atev is hard to take as being just a simple kippah. So, yeah. Maybe he did one thing and then he did another thing. Don't know. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kesher shel tefillin sarach shehei lamala, kadeshu yisrael lamala velo lamata." He says the knot on the tefillin should be above. Rashi says that means the knot on the shel rosh should be on the upper part of the neck. Is the idea civilizing the Jews being above? The Rosh in Hachas Tefillin quotes of Amram Gon that it's about the knot on the shel yad being on the upper part of the arm. Vitzarach shiyehei klape pnim, and it should be internal. Kadeshu Yisrael lefnim v'olachor, the Jews are inside, not to the back, to the outside. And again, the Rashi will say that's about the shel rosh, the not part being towards the skin, and the black part out, whereas the Rosh, quoting Rav Amram Gon, says that it's supposed to be opposite the heart. That's lefnim, internal. From the Marsha, it seems lefnim means close to Hashem. That's the idea. Amar Shmuel bar Bidri Amar Rav Amri Lamar of Acha Rabbi Acha Aricha Amar of Huna Amri Lamar of Anasha Amar Shmuel. Three lines of names. Tefillin me'emasai mevarech alei. And this is now a new thought. When do you make your bracha on the tefillin? So mishas hanachasan. When you put them on, you do it. Sounding like you put the tefillin on and then you make the bracha. So the Gemara has the classic challenge. Ini v'amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel kal mitzvahs kulan mevarech alei and overlasi asan. Bracha before you do the mitzvah. So baye v'rava dami travayu mishas hanacha. They say it's when you put them on before you tie them. There's a great machlokes on this point. Tosfos brings two views. Rabbeinu Eliyahu in Tosfos says you're supposed to retie the knot of your tefillin every day. So what you're doing is you're putting it on and you're retying the knot. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and says, what are you talking about? The order is backwards then. You can't do your hanacha before you do your kshira. Try putting on your head tefillin and then tying the knot behind your head. It's quite a skill. And Tosfos has numerous other sources for that to say you're not doing that. It means tightening it on your head. That's the idea. Our conclusion on this seems to be, actually, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, we follow Rabbeinu Eliyahu for the yad. You're supposed to really retie the tefillin shel yad knot every day, but the tefillin shel rosh you just affix to your head. That's what Tosfos actually concludes, that that's what you're supposed to be doing. In practice, we don't do either one. We don't retie either knot on a daily basis, but theoretically, it sure seems like that's what one should be doing.
Where does the actual knot?
Yeah, where the yud is on the...
You're sort of sliding it a little bit.
You slide it a little bit, maybe, but it sounds like you're retying the knot of the yud, which makes sense in the psukim. It says, ukshartam, you know? All right. Good. We'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.